Welcome to the Development Locker podcast, the podcast designed specifically for aspiring academy football players and their development. I'm your host, Lee Wood, and I'm thrilled to have you join us on this exciting journey. Whether you're a young talent dreaming of making it to the top, a dedicated coach looking for expert insights, or a parent seeking information into how to guide your son along their journey, this podcast is your ultimate resource for everything related to academy football. Each episode will bring you exclusive interviews with renowned coaches, former academy players who have successfully made the transition to professional football, and industry experts who will share their invaluable knowledge and tips to help you excel on and off the pitch. Over the next 48 episodes, we'll be diving deep into the mental and physical conditioning, the various aspects of player development, nutrition, injury prevention, and maintaining a balanced lifestyle to ensure you reach your full potential. We'll also discuss what to do when your dreams come to an end, whenever that may be, along the journey, with insight from those who have gone through this part of the journey and come out the other side a better person. Also, we'll be joined by those who support people like you when, and not if, that day comes when football isn't the only dream you want to pursue. But it's not just about the technicalities of the game. We'll also explore the mindset and mentality required to thrive in a competitive world of academy football. We'll discuss the importance of resilience, self-belief, and effective goal setting to help you overcome challenges and achieve your dreams. So, whether you're looking for guidance on improving your technical abilities, seeking advice on navigating the trials and tribulations of the academy system, or simply want to stay motivated and inspired, we're here to support you every step of the way. Get ready to learn, grow, and be inspired by the stories of those who have walked the same path you're on right now. Together, we'll unlock the secrets to success and help you gain that crucial edge in your academy journey, as well as prepare you for that alternative pathway. So, grab your boots, put on your headphones, and get ready to take your game to the next level. This is your podcast, and I'm thrilled to have you join us as we bring you your interview from the locker. Stay tuned for our weekly episodes, which we'll bring you every Monday morning, and we look forward to you joining us then. In today's episode, we're looking to the power of one-to-one coaching, personal development, and the pursuit of holistic well-being. Life is a journey of constant growth, and sometimes we all need a little guidance and support to unlock our true potential. That's where one-to-one coaching comes in. It's a dynamic process that brings together a skilled coach and an individual seeking personal development, creating a unique partnership designed to help you thrive in all aspects of life. We'll be exploring the incredible benefits of working with a coach, unpacking the transformational experiences individuals undergo as they embark on their personal development journey. We'll hear effective examples from today's guest who joined us to tell you about the power of one-to-one coaching firsthand, discovering how it has shaped the lives of academy players, improved their well-being, and propelled them towards their dreams. But coaching is not just about achieving external success. It's all about fostering inner growth and finding balance in your life. We'll delve into the importance of prioritizing your well-being and exploring effective strategies for self-care and maintaining a healthy work-life balance. Our guest expert today will share valuable insights and practical tips to help you to nurture your mental, emotional, and physical well-being, enabling you to lead a fulfilling and purpose-driven life. Whether you're considering hiring a coach already engaged in personal development, or simply seeking inspiration to enhance your well-being, this episode will be your guide to unlocking your potential. Get ready to tap into the transformative power of one-to-one coaching, personal growth, and holistic well-being. So join me on this enlightening journey as we explore the world of one-to-one coaching and personal development. Get ready to ignite your passion, overcome obstacles, and unlock that true potential from within. This is your interview from the locker. Welcome back, everyone. Another episode, another week, another guest. And we're going to get straight into the questions as we always do. So, Anna, we always start the podcast off with a why and a question about the why. And the question to you is, why should we have a dream? Now, I know that seems a very vague question, but what is its purpose? How aspirational or realistic should that dream be?
Well, that's a great question, Lee. It's a good one, and one I've not had before, actually. But my first answer to that would be, what would life be like without a dream? It would be a very dull existence if we were all just doing the same thing and plodding through life. Because I think dreams give us a reason for being who we are, and we take action because of them, and it gives us courage, and it gives us focus and motivation. It fuels our ambition. So dreams are a very important part of our lives, but it can vary very much depending on what stage of life we are at. So a dream, if a five-year-old was saying to me, I wanted to be a pro footballer, it's a very different feeling than if a 45-year-old said to me, I want to be a pro footballer, I've never played before. So those two situations would be incredibly different. So I think it can very much depend on what stage you are at. So it's quite complex, really. There's a lot of a good reason for having it is that it sets a very high standard that you set yourself these goals that you then will work to, but they do have to be realistic and attainable. So occasionally we may have to shift our perspective a little bit. So if you look back at the five-year-old, they may get to 10 years old and suddenly decide that football's not for them, and that's fine. They've shifted their perspective, they've changed their view of the world, they want to do something else. But if that 45-year-old was still saying to me, I've never played before, but I want to be a professional footballer, there would be some alarm bells ringing, because it's not attainable. It's not something they're going to be able to achieve. So I would be asking some searching questions as to why they think that, what's causing them to want to feel that at this stage of their life, they need to be a Premier League player, because it's unrealistic. The whole point is that you have to be able to try and attain these goals. So it may be by shifting that person's perspective a little bit and realizing that actually there are different levels of success, and they may never play in the Premier League, but they may find a league that suits them, or just a Sunday morning with some friends, you know, and it's shifting that perspective. So yeah, dreams are very important, but it's important to keep checking in that it is still what you want to do, and also that it is what you want to do and not what perhaps those around you want you to do, because that can be another factor. You know, you want to live your life, you don't want to live it through somebody else's ideas and dreams. But the other part of that is, what is success anyway? You know, it can be very different things. One thing actually that I thought of about this was, if you were in music, for example, and your dream was to play headline act at Glastonbury, but you'd never done it, would you think you'd failed? And yet you may be touring the world, playing to concerts every other day. Would you have failed if you hadn't played at Glastonbury? Well, I think most people would think not. And a good example of that would be Elton John. I mean, he's hugely successful, yeah, but he has only just played at Glastonbury for the first time ever. One of his last ever concerts. So it's you know, again, it's keeping things like that in mind. A lot of people would say, if you're in an academy already, you've already achieved such a high level, you're already playing at a very high level, and you're then going to look on maximizing on that potential and taking it forward as far as you can. But yeah, resilience is important, because dreams do fall apart. But that's where the more you can understand it and why you're dreaming like that and why you're thinking the things you do, and the more you, it's called emotional intelligence, when you understand why you feel like you do, and the better you are at things like that, the more realistic it all stays. And so, yeah, you can either reach a dream or change your dream, depending really on how it's going. You know, you have to keep reassessing. So yeah, dreams, yes, I'm a big believer in dreams. I would never sort of try and squash somebody's dreams, but at the same time, they do have to be realistic.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a leading question. You responded beautifully there, but it was a little bit of a leading question for me. And you touched upon it in your answer there about, you know, a five-year-old wanting to be a professional footballer. And I suppose the aspirational /realistic part is because the podcast is in the main for, you know, academy players and young professionals, and they will have those aspirations. But we all know those aspirations aren't realistic for everyone. You said about the different levels. What happens in that case then when, you know, whether it's a music artist doesn't make it to Glastonbury or doesn't even get the worldwide tour, or for the purpose of this podcast, where a five-year-old, 10-year-old, 15-year-old doesn't make it into an academy or doesn't make that next step into the professional game of football? What happens when our dreams are broken? Is there a massive fallout? Is it just a case of, like you were saying, shifting perspective and just quickly finding another dream that links in with what we've been pursuing? But how does that work when our dreams are broken?
Right. I think that, again, will depend on what level you're at. So if we're talking mainly to academy players and young professionals, it can be absolutely devastating. It can change your whole life. If you think that somebody, a young person who's playing, may have been in that system for 10 years, if not actually in an academy, they will have been playing for probably about 10 years by this point. It's their whole life. And it can be very difficult. Now, the good thing at the moment is that this is being spoken about much more, and it's opening up the conversation. So hopefully things are going to start getting a little bit easier, but nothing changes quickly. So I think there's a lot of work going on in the background to try and make this very, a better experience for all involved. My view is that everybody is an individual, and I work from a very holistic approach. So I have to look at the whole person. There should be signs and things. What I'd hate to happen is for somebody to suddenly, maybe they're 16, 17, 18, and they're suddenly told, okay, that's it, you're out. We don't need you anymore. You're not fitting in. Whatever the reason, it should never come as a surprise. I think it's something that should be, that should be talked about early on, so that people are aware. Quite often you will have somebody and they're not actually upset about it, because they've seen the sign, they've read, they've sensed it coming up over months or even years, or they themselves have realigned their own dreams and decided that, yeah, they've had a great time up to now, but actually academy life's not for them, or I don't actually want the pressure of a professional football player. I want to go back to just playing with my mates and doing a weekend league or whatever it is. It doesn't have to be devastating, but it can be. Now, for those who are, knocked for six by it, it completely shakes and shatters their world. You know, their confidence goes, their self-worth goes, it crumbles, they can get anxiety, depression. They can feel guilty for themselves, because they maybe haven't achieved what they wanted to achieve, but they also can be a hefty amount of guilt to the family, because anybody in an academy knows it's a full-on life and that involves everybody in the family. So they can even feel guilty that parents who've traveled all over the place with them suddenly, why, I'm not doing it anymore. So that there's lots of things going on. And of course, it can be any level in between that as well. It's not an either or. So for me, I think key to that is communication and personal development, really. As I said earlier, it shouldn't come as a surprise. It should be something that is being talked about or prepared for. And the more a person has worked on their own personal development, the more they will understand how they feel, and the more they know how to react to those emotions, and that the easier it is going to be for them. So, stress and coping, mechanisms need to be put in place so that good choices can be made, other options can be discussed. I do think clubs are getting much, much better at this, and hopefully that is going to filter through all the way through. I know you spoke to Stephen Corker recently, and he's got an incredible project underway, which is only in a pilot stage at the moment, but players like him coming out and talking about it and putting things in place to pick up people who maybe are just slower developers, and given another year, they will come on in leaps and bounds, or maybe it's just not the right club for them, or they've not got the skills that particular club's looking for at that moment. You know, there's so many factors that it's hard to sort of just say one thing to do. But yeah, I think communication is absolutely key, and the support for the players and also the players' families, because they are the ones who are going to be picking up the pieces at home. So yeah,
I think very true.
And ongoing support, not just for the first week or two. You know, I think there may be looking at a program of allowing players to still have contact in some way, you know, making a group where they can chat with other players who've released. I don't know. It's maybe talking to players now who are not in that position and asking what would they like if they were in that position. You know, and talking to players who have been released in the past and asking what they would like, and coming up with programs that will sort of incorporate some of that.
Yeah, I mean, speaking with Stephen and meeting him in person and some of the sessions he's done with the academy players I work with, yeah, he's a truly inspirational person. And it's funny you should mention, because, you know, he's very passionate about this personal development, as you mentioned in your answer there. And in terms of that personal development piece, and I suppose the journey towards getting the best out of yourself, being the best version of you, in your opinion, is there a, not a standardized process, but because you were saying about its perspective, it's down to the individual, are the key elements within that that will help that person along that personal development journey, the key destinations along that journey that they need to really be embracing if they're in the position where their dreams have been shattered or broken? What's the personal development journey look like for you for a young person?
Yeah, again, it's difficult to answer in a general sense, because it is very, very personal, and a solution for one person wouldn't work for somebody else. So it's all about looking at the person, not the footballer. You need to understand the individual, as the person, to get the best out of them. Are you talking about a standardized process for somebody who's actually leaving, or somebody who?
Yeah, I mean, leaving, or even just as I say abroad, I know it's difficult then for you to answer, but, you know, an individual who's had their dream shattered, you mentioned their personal development is a key process for them to understand themselves and the reasons behind, you know, why, you know, they've not necessarily achieved what they've wanted to do. In terms of that personal development piece, are there key parts to it for you that a individual, how they should be developing themselves to, you can put it into context of, you know, at this time of the year, this time of the season, players who have been released from their academies last season, what would you say to them in terms of wanting to start that personal development journey to re-establish and start to think about some alternative dreams?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's looking completely, you know, it's taking time. I don't think we allow ourselves much time in society as a whole to just sit and think things through. We're always moving on to the next thing, and emotions are there for a reason. And if you are upset about something, you have to understand why that is and what's causing it. Now, if you've just been released and your whole life has been football, it's fairly obvious where the connection is. But it's also looking at how you can then understand why you're reacting like that. What do you need to do to try and find other things in your life that you can become passionate about, that you can be interested in? Values and beliefs are at the core center, really, of everybody. So it's maybe sitting down to look back at what is it that really stimulates you, your interests, your passions, what is it you want to get out of your life in the longer term? And how are you coping? What are you using to coping? Because the way we learn how to cope with things usually stems from when we're small children, and we learn from our parents. And in turn, they may have learned from their parents. So you may be talking about coping strategies that go back generations. Now, they may work when you're a small child, but if you're sort of 16 and just being released from a club, those mechanisms may not be working for you anymore, because they're just that it's a different world that we live in. It's a different set of problems. So sometimes it's taking it right back down and looking at what is going to work for you. What can you do that is going to help you get through this difficult time? Who's there that can help you do that? Who can you talk about it with? You know, that may be friends, that may be family, that may be somebody in the club, it may be somebody outside the club. And it's learning also to understand living right in that moment. Yes, you are going to be upset. In a way, it's a little bit like a bereavement. You know, something that you've been hanging on to suddenly disappeared. You've got to learn that that's gone. You may well find that there's another place that you can go, and that's where somebody like Stephen is talking about. You know, it's never the end. Yeah. There's always other options, and that's probably the case in a lot of, you know, we're talking about academy players here. They've all reached an extremely high level already, so there will probably be somewhere along the line. It's whether that's what they want, and sometimes this is a point in time where they suddenly start readjusting and rethinking. I always think that's sort of between sort of 16 and 21, very difficult period, because there's so many changes going on with them as people outside of football. You know, you've got mm-hmm. friends, relationships starting, there's all sorts going on. So yeah, it's taking that time to take a step back. Don't shut yourself away. Talk to people, listen to what people have to say. Start thinking about the balance in your life. You know, what is it that you want to happen? Do you want to try? Do you want to go up ahead and try somewhere else? Who can you talk to about that? Who can you ask for some advice? Or do you want to just have a break and let things settle? You know, there's so many options, but it's very, very personal.
Yeah, I'm a great believer of the options part. You know, and it's good, you name check Stephen there in terms of his philosophy, his kind of mindset is that there are always alternative options. That's what he presented to our academy lads in terms of, you know, it's a decision. If we're talking about players who've been released or not getting that professional contract, it's a decision that is time bound, that is relative to that point in time and just that club. And that's one person's opinion or one club's opinion out of 92, you know, in England, never mind across Europe and other countries. So yeah, it's interesting you say that, and also kind of leads me beautifully into the next question. You talked about balance there, and I want to ask you about work-life balance. So I know as a is it a lifestyle coach that what you'd title call leadership, yourself, is that correct?
Yeah, leadership coach.
So yeah. Leadership coach. So you deal a lot with work-life balance from a business perspective. I know you work within sport, you work with academy players, and bringing it back towards that, you know, academy player, even maybe the academy parent you name checked before, that work-life balance, it really intrigues me, because you hear conflicting stories from different people, both inside and outside of football. Is a work-life balance in academy football, in sport, achievable? Or is it a case of where your passion, so whether you're a parent and you're passionate about supporting your son, whether it's as a player and you're just passionate, eat, drink, sleep, football, even as a member of staff within the academy system, you go above and beyond on a daily basis because you love the job that you do, developing young people and young players. Mm. Will that passion always get in the way and shatter that work-life balance? Is it even achievable in the modern day with use of technology and, you know, the way that we're living? You mentioned generational. Is a work-life balance achievable, or does passion always get in the way?
Yeah, this would apply to anybody in any scenario, really. Work-life balance is essential. It really is essential, no matter how passionate you are about what you do. Because even when we're passionate about something, having time away from it only enhances and strengthens that passion. It will also, in the case of athletes, will also help to improve their performance, their concentration. You know, there's a lot of perks to actually getting this balance right. And it's not either or. What one will fuel the other. So again, we're back to when you understand yourself and how you react in stressful situations, because, you know, work and stress and things can build up very quickly, and things can spiral very quickly. So having a break just gives you that time to actually acknowledge what's going on and have a think about everything that's happening. So getting the balance right is really important. Breaking the cycle doesn't actually have to be as difficult as people think. You know, we're talking about 10, 15, 20 minutes sometimes is enough just to get, just to sort of try and break that cycle. I mean, the advantage in sport is that people are generally very passionate about it. It's not the sort of thing you go into unless you are. But when I talk about academies, I usually mean everybody involved, not just players. I'm talking coaches, managers, everybody, because that all has an impact on players. It's the whole thing. So it's a club as a general. But, you know, if you think about it, let's use a food example. Say you absolutely adored apple pie. And but then you have it all the time. You have it for your breakfast, lunch, dinner, supper. Very quickly, you'd actually start getting fed up with it. And you'd think, actually, I'd quite fancy something else now. And it's a bit like that, really. If you do it over and over again without having any other break from it, eventually it grinds you down. Now, it might, I'm not saying you're going to fall out of love completely with football, but it will take the edge off. The stress will start creeping in a little bit more. And we're talking about little changes that just up the anxiety, up the stress level. So it really is important to get this balance right. And again, this is all part of that personal development, and it's finding what it is that works for that individual to help them have a cutoff point where they can then sort of, you know, break that cycle of it all being work.
And do you see a lot of that with a lot of your clients, or a lot of your experiences that you've seen through your lens of, regardless of whether it's parent, player, coach, whoever in the academy system within football, do you see a lot of poor work-life balance or non-existent work-life balance? Is it a common thing, or is it something that we're gradually redressing now with people like yourself and other, you know, we live in an age now where there's plenty of podcasts, YouTube videos, TikToks of people going, oh, do this, do that. Here's a 5-minute rule or 5-thing rule to do to establish a work-life balance. Are we getting better at it, or are we still relatively poor at actually establishing an effective work-life balance, do you think?
I think people are much more aware about it. And certainly in football, there are definitely noises and things happening and things changing. But there's still a lot of work to be done, because it is one of those places where it is, passion is a huge part of it. And until people realise that actually by having other experiences, you will actually enhance your performance and enhance your enjoyment of the football side of things, then, you know, until we realize that, then things are not going to change, because there's so much pressure. There's so much pressure around at whatever level, whether you're in academy, once you've gone pro, whatever, the pressure gets higher and harder. So this is why at this level, we need to be addressing it, because it is only going to get more. You know, people think once they've made it and signed by a team and they're playing pro, I've done it. But that isn't the case, because then they've got pressure every single week. Are we going to be selected? Are we going to play? Which they have in academies as well. So it is an area that I think still needs a lot of work. But again, it doesn't have to be frightening. It can be really simple things. For example, a lot of players will put the headphones on, go into a match, they'll have a playlist that they play, certain things they like to listen to, there'll be certain tempos usually of music which will help them get in the right space for a pre-match. Now, the last thing you want to do if you're coming out of that and you need to go and make sort of unwind and start relaxing, you don't want to listen to that playlist. You want a different playlist, which is completely different, different tempo. You're not wanting to remind yourself of getting that hyped up and ready. You're wanting to change it. So that's a really simple thing you can do. If music's your thing, put a playlist together of stuff that really makes you sort of chilled and calm. And that's a simple thing that anybody can do. And living in the moment, your passion is football. So if when you're not playing it, you still want to go and watch your team and you're going with your mates, that's fine. I'm not saying you don't do that, but it's living in that moment and remembering that you're there with your mates, you're having a chat, you're having a laugh. It's the whole thing. It's not the same as when you're playing. So appreciating those like little changes, just acknowledging that you're doing that, can actually make quite a big difference.
Yeah, it's good to hear that. You know, it all only takes 15, 20 minutes of changing tasks, something very simplistic. You know, you've done it beautifully there in terms of, you know, playlist. Most players will have a go-to playlist, but yeah, if they have a love and a passion for music, which most do that, but doing it a slightly different way of making that tempo different or a clear, you know, even just the title, them searching for it, the mind switching on to relaxation or, you know, escaping from the demands of academy football. So those are, you know, really, really good tips, really. And I suppose in terms of easy wins, I always love an easy win because I'm quite a lazy person, but are there any easy wins in terms of the well-being of academy players? We talked about work-life balance there and probably across the board, but specifically for academy players and those that are listening to the podcast, is there an easy win for them to really establish or maintain a better well-being? We hear quite a lot of the time in the press, you know, that's growing more and more, and rightly so, because there needs to be a spotlight on it, of, you know, being quite poor mental health and, you know, not the best well-being of players who are still in the system, those who have been released. Are there any easy wins to kind of establish a good well-being or to redress that balance of, you know, kind of looking after ourselves? Is there any other kind of easy wins you could give some of our academy players who are listening to this?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I would like listeners to take away from this, if they only remember one thing, it would be that well-being is a positive, it's not a negative. Working on your well-being is a good thing. So many people think that this is a negative area, that there's something wrong, that everything's not going well, it's a weakness. But actually, it's the absolute opposite of that. It actually shows great strength to want to go in and examine yourself a bit further and maximize your own potential, make the best of yourself that you can. So that would be the one thing. If we can actually just start twisting it around, turning it on its head, well-being, I know it's called well-being, but it's got connotations, hasn't it? And there's yeah. still an awful lot of people who sort of feel that they may be putting themselves at risk, and it's unhelpful if they start going down that road. But actually, by ignoring your well-being, that's far more likely to be risk. It's even more, you know, you're more likely to go down the road of using dangerous, even coping strategies that at the very least unhelpful, but can be dangerous. You know, we're talking about, for the older players, we're talking about alcohol, nicotine, drugs, sex, even, you know, all of these. If any of these are cropping up, there should be a few red flags starting to come up. These are areas which are easy to fall into those traps. The good thing is there's a lot more players now, and managers as well, who are openly discussing problems they've had in these areas because of the stress of the work. And I think that's making it much easier for people to, you know, to get on board with this and realise that this is actually a good thing. This is a great thing. You know, why wouldn't you want to make the best of yourself? Why wouldn't you want to get the absolute best out of what you're doing? One thing that's come up a few times actually is that I've often said to people, you know, nobody thinks twice about a tennis player having somebody like me. Doesn't enter that, they just think it's normal. So why shouldn't it be the same in football? And I've said this in a number of meetings recently with various different football coaches, and every single one of them has agreed. You know, it's normal. Nobody thinks it's strange if it's a tennis player. So why not football? You know, we need to be listening to ourselves. We need to be sort of realizing that this is a positive thing. It's a good thing. There's so much stuff out there now. You know, you're asking about what would work for individuals. I think within clubs like yourselves, that there are people like yourself now who have got a lot of information. So it's listening to what they're saying. It's reading the leaflets mm-hmm. they give you, you know, and it's taking all that on board. Social media is actually making a huge difference as well. I mean, I've had people come to me because they're reading about it on social media and recognizing that they actually could do with some of this. So they actually have come to me from just reading about it on social media. So that there is so much information out there. The problem we have is certain things will work for certain people and not for others. And it's finding the thing that works for you. So just because you've tried one thing that you've read about and it hasn't worked, then that's fine. You know, read a bit more, there will be something, or you speak one-to-one with somebody and then, you know, we work it out and we find out what's going to work. But yeah, that is the thing. It's a positive. It's absolutely positive. A lot, you know, there are a lot of people, like I've said, I've had people come to me who their clubs don't, you know, they're not sent them. They've just realized. So it's knowing that people are doing this and it's normal. That's what we need to do. We need to normalize this. It's all confidential. So anything you say to any sort of coach is that's between you and them. So you know, that's the other thing to have in mind. But yeah, the takeout would be definitely read about it, things that click with you. If you think, well, that sounds like a good thing, give it a go, give it a try, see what happens. But speak to the people.
I was going to say, an individual approach is obviously, listening from a lot of your responses so far, is always the best way. Mm. For those clubs, academies who don't, you're speaking about, you know, the growing player care provision now, and you know, the other members of staff within academy football, safeguarding welfare, you know, some academies are quite fortunate, they have, you know, a wellbeing team, or they can have people like yourself on hand to be present in and around the, you know, retain and release, and you know, players being told, you know, negative news that their dreams potentially aren't going to come true at that moment in time at that club. And for those clubs and academies who don't have that infrastructure, who don't have that manpower, who don't have that finance to be able to invest in that, are there, in your opinion, things that we in academy football can be doing in a general term towards creating a better program, a better service to academy players across the board? Now, I know you're very much about the individual, and it might be difficult to answer on that one, but is the, you know, one, two, three things that we as an academy in this country could be doing as a general thing to make sure that we're creating a better environment that will positively impact the well-being of the players that we're responsible for?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, there is. And I think I would stress that this goes, you know, you probably get grassroots players and teams who listen in on these types of podcasts, and this will filter down every level. So this applies to everybody, really. I mean, the most important thing is to know them as people. You know, think of each individual player as a person, not just a player. Spending time with them, getting to know their names of their partners or families or dog or whatever it is, you know, just understanding them as people, not just as players, are essential factors, because time and time and time again, you hear they're not listening. I don't want to say anything. I'm frightened of saying something. You know, it's if there's data coming out of the ears of people in academies and pro football, everything's measured and monitored. But the one thing I hear so often is that people aren't listening. So yeah, that is easy to do. It's free, you know, it's and it can make a massive difference. So I would say really the key areas would be communication and listening. Now, the good thing is that coaches already have, you know, excellent observational skills. It's what they do. They're known. They spend their days watching and observing. So it's not a big leap to take in a little bit more information. So, for example, if you're watching your players, you know what they're like, you know how they are, but you see one particular person who maybe isn't performing quite how you normally expect them to. nothing necessarily happening. It may just be the day they're having. So I wouldn't necessarily leap straight in there. But if you find that's happening a few days on the run, it's maybe a quiet word, just having a chat, not even specifically saying anything. But you've observed a change in their behaviour. And it may be very subtle, but that's what I mean. Coaches are good at observing. So you've observed a change. So instead of leaping on it and saying, why are you doing this? Why are you not doing that? It's just let it go for a bit. Let's just see what's happening here. And if it is that there's some underlying something going on at home, you know, it might be as simple as they've had an argument at home before they came in. Now, most places where you work, that doesn't really matter. But if you've got to give 100% all the time, some tiny little thing being out of alignment, like you're just feeling slightly off because you've had an argument, you're only giving 98% instead of 100. So if you're picking that up, you know, you can sense there's a problem, you can do something about it. And if it's a small thing that's blown over and everything's fine, then great. But it may be that there's something going on that's slightly bigger that you can intervene much earlier and stop it spiraling downwards, because, you know, it's very, very easy for confidence to get knocked and then training gets harder next time. And so if you make another mistake, your confidence knocked again, and you can see how quickly that can all go downhill. So that would be the first thing, and would really, I would say, is communication. It's learning how to, it's something that can easily be done. And listening, really listening. We actually find it quite hard to listen properly. Most people's urge is to interrupt when you're talking, and because you say, oh yeah, I know, I like that, I know, I understand what you mean, and that's how we talk to each other. But when we do that, you're giving off, you know, it's almost like you're telling them that what they're saying is not interesting, or that you're not actually, you know, you're preempting what they may actually be about to say, something completely different to what you thought they were. So it's something to really listen can make somebody feel a whole lot better. There's actually a really simple exercise you can do as coaches. You can do this just to see how difficult it can be to listen properly. And it's simple. Two of you choose a topic, anything, it doesn't really matter what it is, and then you take it in turns to speak about it for say 3 or 4 minutes, and the other one has to listen and watch and observe you whilst you're talking, but not interrupt, not say a word. And it really is quite difficult. You have to literally sort of bite your tongue at times because you just want to, you either want to nod and agree, or you want to disagree, or, you know, it is quite, and then you switch around and do it the other way around. And it's just a really, really simple, easy exercise. And in fact, players can do it as well. So they learn from it as well. You know, just to learn that they actually can learn from each other and they can listen to each other a little bit better than they are doing. And that way you're just hopefully going to try and pick up on something before it's a problem.
In terms of that, it's so effective, isn't it, to do something like that. And it's more than easy what you're saying there. It's totally free. I mean, that exercise would be really powerful to try and do that. To, like you said, I think we're all conditioned to, we almost listen just to respond, don't we? Not necessarily always to interrupt. And I think something like that could be so effective. And yeah, strip everything else out. You don't have to have departments, you don't have to have, you know, manpower, finances, infrastructure. Like you said, it's just the ability to listen. I think that's really powerful, and I think that's something that, you know, a lot of academy staff, maybe even parents, will be able to, you know, take from the episode in terms of just listening to their son along their journey, whether having a good day, bad day, played well, not played well, unsure about what the future holds. Just to listen is such a, it's such a positive thing, isn't it? When, you know, when I'm listening to yourself and other guests, you kind of feel honored a little bit because they are talking directly to you. It's not just lip service. Like, we all probably do it guiltily, don't we, in any workplace, and going, oh, are you okay? When we're not probably really asking, are we okay? And I think what you said there is to really listen. That's a true skill.
It is. It does take practice, as you'll find if you do try that exercise. It does take practice, but what you also find is that after having done that, you will then notice more often if you do start interrupting people, you will realize you're doing it. So you are immediately starting to make changes because it's been brought to the front of your mind. You're aware that you're doing it, which perhaps you weren't even aware before until we had this conversation. You probably hadn't thought about it very much. But exactly. Parents as well. This is vital. They're coming home. They're the people most likely to have to listen to woes and trials and tribulations as they go along. Yeah, it's listening. It's a really, really important skill, and it's free. It's I won't say it's easy because you do have to work at it sometimes. And literally, there are times when you want to just interrupt and say something. But no, by leaving and silence as well. Silence is actually really, really important. Since we're talking about this, when there's a silence, and this is something that you find in that particular exercise, if there's a silence, we get uncomfortable. We very, very quickly want to fill the silence. And that is when most people will then interrupt and say something. But actually, that silence is when most of the good thinking is happening. And if you leave them to think rather than interrupt, you're much more likely to get some really good bit of information just afterwards. So, that's the really important point, silence. Learn to how to actually get a bit more comfortable with the silence rather than feeling that you have to fill it.
Yeah, no, great advice. Going back to the personal development piece, in your opinion, is it a continual, never-ending journey, personal development? Or if there is an end destination, if there is, what does that look like? Is that complete happiness, complete, I'm looking for the words, I've probably not got them, but contentment? Is that achieving your dream? Is it euphoria? Or is just personal development just a continual journey? It never ends. You just have to adapt, maybe go on different pathways, alternative routes. How do you see personal development as a journey?
Absolutely never ending, ongoing, lifelong process, because we change over time. And we all have different stages of our lives. And also, apart from that, there are always areas that we can improve on within ourselves. So it's something that, initially to kickstart it can feel like it's a very big thing. But once you get going, once you recognize and understand yourself a little bit more, it becomes easier because you're really just adjusting and making a few changes. So what you have to realize is that what's worked for you at one point, like I said a bit earlier, what worked for you at one point isn't necessarily going to work for you later in life. So, that's where little tweaks have to come in, and we have to have a look around and see, well, what is going to work for us now? So that's where personal development has to continue. Because like I said earlier, if you're 5 years old and you're doing something because it's the way your parents did it and it's working, that's great. But if you're 25-year-old and you're trying to apply the same thing and it's not working and you don't understand why you're getting so angry and upset, then yeah, some tweaks have to be made. Also, the world changes around us and technology improves and changes. So there's a lot of different factors at play within personal development. So by understanding ourselves and giving ourselves the time to think about it, and that's, again, like bringing in the silence that we were talking about earlier, sometimes just having a bit of time to think creates that space where we can actually make a few changes. And very often, small changes will make a massive difference. So we don't necessarily have to making massive changes. It can be little tweaks here and there. So really, I would say that if you think about yourself at 9 years old and yourself at 19 years old, you're viewing the world in a very different way. And the same at 29-year-old, 39-year-old, 49. Every one of these stages, you are different. You're a different person because your life's been going on and things have been happening. So, yeah, it's a never-ending process. But that's not said in a negative way. It actually enhances life. It makes it better. The second part of that is that if there is an end, what does it look like? Well, there's another exercise actually, which might actually work with this, which is it's called a future self exercise. So it would be a case of where you would imagine yourself when you're, say, imagine that you're 80 or 90 years old. And where would you like to be? What would you be doing? Are you happy? Do you have any regrets? So if it was me, so we were using me for an example. If I was to imagine myself at 80 or 90, I'd really like to be sitting on a veranda somewhere with a spectacular view or the beach or something, with family coming in regularly, you know, maybe reading about some of my clients, how well they're doing, you know, things like that. And I'd want to feel that I had no regrets, that I'd headed off any problems as I've gone through life and that I'd dealt with them. You know, that's what I would want. And if I was able to look back at my life and think, yeah, no, that's okay, that's gone well, then I feel that would be a good point to be. So yeah, that can be quite helpful. Just try and think how you would look back at yourself as a way.
Do you think that would be quite grounded as well, in terms of, because everything you've described, I'm not saying everybody's like you, because, you know, we're all different, but what you described there's no materialistic things involved, there's no finance involved, but all those things sometimes probably do drive our dreams a lot and potentially impact our personal development journey. Because like, oh, I want to make pro because if or when I make pro, you know, I want the lifestyle, I want the trappings that come with it, I want the security, I want to be able to make my family secure financially. And you often hear young academy players or young professionals talking that way. Now, whether they believe their own dreams or believe what they're saying themselves, that's maybe a separate conversation and a different matter. But it's interesting, if you did look back, as like you said, your 80, 90 year old self, it'd be interesting to do that piece to see whether those same things they're dreaming of actually lie at the end, well, not at the end of the journey, you know, but towards the end of our journey as a human being. It's interesting, everything you listed there, you painted that picture. There was nothing about probably what maybe your younger self would have attributed as a dream or as a personal development piece of going, I want this house, I want to be able to have that car or have this set income. It's really interesting that, because I think all that is background noise, doesn't matter when it comes to the end of it. It's like you said, it's no regrets.
Exactly. No regrets. That's one of my favorite phrases. Yeah, no, I think you're right. It is very grounding. And a lot of people, if you're talking to somebody who's 18, they're more than likely not actually imagined themselves as 80 or 90 years old and how they would feel about it all. So it is a way of making them realize and see and think in a perhaps a different way, because this is all about perspectives. And sometimes we have to shift our perspectives a little bit. So seeing that actually, if you boil it down to the opposite end of your life, even if you may have another 10, 15 years of it, it's a different stage of your life. And yes, things that seemed highly important when you were much younger may seem irrelevant now. And it is an important part, particularly when you're talking about areas where there's such a lot of pressure. You know, football has its pressures because there's a lot of money involved, basically. You know, the higher up you get, the more that's going to happen, and it brings with it huge pleasures, but it also brings huge stresses. And so ideally there should be a lot of work about dealing with that and coping with that. And yeah, some exercise like that is a good way of just sort of bringing everybody back down to one level and thinking, okay, well, what is actually really important to me?
Yeah, that's good. I think I'll be using that one. I'll pinch that one if that's okay with you. A couple of questions left. One penultimate one is around, again, the academy system as a whole, staff like myself. In you're very passionate about the role that you do, and you know, the one-to-one coaching. I know, you know, looking from your website, and you know, you're quite active on LinkedIn. You've worked with, you know, academy players and parents who are, you know, are still in the system or have you know, progressed on to other things. Mm-hmm. Would you advocate, is it your wish, is it your dream, let's spin it back on you, is it your dream that there should be a level of coaching, the things that you do on a daily basis, that should have a place within every academy? If you're of that viewpoint, if that is your dream, what would it look like to you in terms of it being a supportive tool for players and parents in the main within academy football?
Right. Okay. This is a great question, but it's also a very tricky one. Because I feel there's huge things happening within the system as it stands at the moment. Things are improving tremendously, but there's still a lot that's got to happen. There's a whole lot of demystifying needs to take place about the whole process of well-being, which I touched on earlier when I was saying about it being a positive thing rather than a negative thing. Yeah, I would definitely feel personal development on a one-to-one basis is where you're going to get the best results. But having said that, I think any form of well-being, talks, you know, relaxation, breathing exercises, all the things that can be done within groups are also equally important, because somebody within that will pick up something from it and they will use it at certain points. But for the huge changes, for transformational type change, then it has to be a one-to-one personal level, because, you know, the whole way of coaching in the way I do is it's never about me, it's about the individual. So the more that you get, they come up with the questions and the answers. So it's by doing that is where you're going to get the changes happening. So my problem area here is that players are less likely to talk to staff that they know, and I think this is going to be a real sticking area.
Yeah.
And I'm not quite sure. Well, I have a few ideas actually of ways around that, but what I want to get away from is where we're firefighting problems. That's the whole point of personal development, is that you're not waiting until there's a crisis. You know, you've not got somebody who's actually self-destructing in front of you and sabotaging their own career. We want to be in there way before that, so that they're preventing that even happening. So that would be the first thing. That's why I feel one-to-one is going to be a good thing to have. Now, how do we get about that? Well, I think as far as I think at the moment is one method I would like to use and have tried in as well is you don't start with the players. We get somebody in like myself who, or somebody within the club, but they start with maybe the managers or the coaches or the physios or the medics. And by that, I would also say that you'd start with people who are already on board with what you're trying to do. So they're already interested. They already think this is quite a good idea. Let's have a go with this. So you'd start doing some one-to-one work with them. Now, as they go through that process, they start behaving and acting and talking and listening differently. So you do get a trickle up and trickle down effect going on where they start behaving differently towards other people. So you start seeing signs going out. So once that's happened, you start bringing in some of the ones who'd been slightly more skeptical at first, and they start to get involved. Now, by doing it that way, you're also showing players, the younger ones, that this is what you really mean this. This is an important thing. We're doing it. Look, we're all doing it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it doesn't matter what stage you are. It's not just you as a player, because a player is going to be affected by how the coaches are and how the medics are and how the physios are. You know, if they're all having a really rubbish day, the player will pick up on that. And the higher up you go, the bigger those stakes are. So, you know, it's important that everybody within the club is all sort of feeling as good as they possibly can. So you will get an improvement in things like communication, and it just normalizes the whole process. So to me, that would be a good way of starting it, is to start with everybody else and then gradually work your way through, and players then start to realize that actually this is quite normal. There's still going to be a sticking point, because a lot of the times you will have players who are quite happy and quite open about the fact that they're speaking to me, that they'll publicize the fact, they don't care, they're quite happy with that, but there will always be those who do not want it known, and that's fine. That's completely understandable. So they're the ones that I would worry about, because they are not going to engage quite as well as you would want them to if it's forced upon them. So maybe it's a case of having a few, I don't know, numbers displayed, names displayed of people they can contact if they want, so they have options. Again, we're back to choices. If they don't feel comfortable talking to somebody within the club, I would sooner they talk to someone, even if it's outside of the club, because if they're not comfortable, they're not going to engage as well as they should in order to get the best from it. So it's a difficult area, because I do feel that clubs are doing huge amount of work, and it's working, it's paying off. We are seeing changes, and it's all just early days and we're starting, but there are areas that I think that will be sticking points. But I do feel that, yeah, start with some of the coaches, because it will have a trickle up and down effect anyway. You will get benefits to all those surrounding, you know, so you don't always have to speak to everybody within a club. You know, you can actually pick out certain people for whatever reasons, just because they're into it maybe, and you will get a knock-on effect. It does trickle up and down. So yeah, does that answer that question? It's a tricky
one. That more than answers the question. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I do appreciate. Well, yeah, I do feel for some of my guests, because yeah, some of the questions are not the easiest, and it is all, like we've been talking about so far, it's all perspective, it's time bound, it's down to the individual. So it's almost an impossible task for me to fire a question at you and you go, Lee, here are the four steps you need to take. That's it. Roll it out tomorrow.
Yeah. But you know, any even putting one thing in place is helping. So all of the stuff I'm saying, you know, it all can be built on. So it's great that it's being spoken about. That's the way I look at it.
It is important just to have those conversations. And to finish our conversation, for those academy players or young professionals who are listening to this podcast, that's in the main our listener base, what would you say to them as a lasting piece now on the episode, who were thinking about engaging with either yourself or someone like yourself in terms of that one-to-one coaching, but they're a little bit unsure whether that's the bit about, you know, you were saying about they don't really want to highlight it or speak about or make others aware that they're speaking to someone else, because that could be perceived as a weakness, or, oh, they're going through a bit of trouble because they're speaking with someone else. Is it a case of, what would you want to say to those people who may be wavering, borderline, ready to reach out, but not quite doing so?
Right. Well, first of all, I mean, I try and make it completely clear what it is that we do, because it's, you know, personal development is sort of thrown out there, but it's not always clear what it is we mean. So it's all the things we've been talking about today, really. And it's just basically bringing out the best in yourself and giving yourself the best possible chances. And, you know, we've talked about work-life balance, and we've talked about set yourself goals and how you can improve yourself, how you can improve performance, your mindset, all of those things. But so somebody sitting on the edge and not knowing whether to take the leap or not, I think the first thing is don't be scared about it. This is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's completely confidential. So anything that you discuss within that room with the coach, whoever that is, remains there. The only time that would ever change would be under agreement with you anyway, you know, and that would only be if there was a very serious issue that they were very concerned about you in some way and they may want to involve somebody else, but it would never happen without your knowledge. So it's all completely confidential. The most important thing is to find a coach that you feel comfortable with and that you can build on that relationship, because that is the sort of root of it all, really. There has to be a good, it has to feel like it's a safe space where you can talk about things openly. And don't be afraid to try out a few different people. Just because you like them doesn't necessarily mean to say that they will work in a coaching relationship. And that's actually going back to the previous question that ties in, that it may be that somebody within a club is absolutely brilliant. It's not questioning their ability in the slightest, but it sometimes is that they see them in a certain way and they need to speak to somebody they're not going to see around the club. So it's finding someone that you feel comfortable with, if that, whoever that is, and don't be afraid to try a few out until you find the right person. it can get emotional at times. So it's, you know, that's the way it is. It's sometimes when we talk about things, it will get a bit uncomfortable and a bit emotional, but that is the whole point, really. It's learning then from these situations how you then can cope and how you can build with that and how you can use that to your advantage. You know, make your emotions work for you, not against you, because they're very powerful as making you work in a very positive way. Generally, at the start of a session, we'd decide a topic for that particular session, and that would be agreed between the two of us, and then off we go. There'd be lots of discussion, lots of talk, but it would be mainly the player who'd be talking, or the coach, or whoever it was. The coach, like myself, says very little. As I said, the silence is important. We'll just be throwing in some quite big questions and then sitting back waiting for you to answer and come up with solutions. So it's an interesting, it's exciting. You know, why wouldn't you want to try and bring out the best in yourself, really? It's there for you. It's there for you to sort of build and create solutions. It's all about you. It's, you know, it's absolutely no point for me to sit and tell somebody, oh no, you need to do this. This is what will help you in this situation, because that's what would help me in that situation, not what would help them. So the whole point is that we make people think about it enough to come up with their own set way of being able to solve a problem. And by doing that, actually far more likely to stick with it. So that's an upside as well. And then at the end of a session, it will be a session, by the way, would be an hour long. So at the end of that session, you'd be recapping on what it is you were, what, you know, what, how you decided to do something and how you were going to make sure that you carried it out. I usually suggest about six sessions. It can vary, but usually as an average, I'd say about six sessions over 3 months. So it'd be roughly every 2 weeks. Now that's to allow time for you to implement things we've discussed in a session and then come up with something else. And one thing I would add is that sometimes what you decide at the beginning of the session is not where you end up at the end of it, because it's during those silences that suddenly something will pop up and you'll think, actually, I can just see it now. That's what's caused me that problem. So it might take you in a bit of a different direction, but it's all exciting stuff. And it's the best thing to think about is that by doing this, it's not just helping your football, it's helping you in the all areas of your life, no matter what you're doing, whether you stay in football, whether you don't stay in football, whether you've been in football all your life, but you're now at the end of your career and you have to transition out of football, it will help you there. So it's all aspects of your life. So it's never going to be wasted.
And if that was a Dragon's Den pitch, that would be a very good one and I'd be ready to invest. So yeah, that was good. That was good. That's really good. No, I mean, in terms of everything that you've given over the last hour, I know you mentioned your sessions, you know, approximately last an hour, over the last hour of our conversation, it's been very informative and plenty of easy wins, plenty of exercises and examples that you've given. So yeah, I want to thank you for your time. You know, thank you for your honesty and coming on and, you know, trying to answer and successfully answering some very difficult questions. I'm sure our listeners, like you've touched upon, academy staff, parents, players, even down to grassroots and other sports, or people who just have a bit of an interest in personal development and people who work within sport, you know, thank you on behalf of them. Thank you on behalf of myself. It's been great to talk to you. And yeah, I'm sure that there'll be hopefully more than a handful of people who will be now taking that pitch at the end and thinking, actually, I'm going to give it a try. And if, you know, a handful of people do that, then yeah, this episode has been beneficial and they can then start to, you know, map out their personal development journey. So thank you.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure, Lee. I've really enjoyed it. And thanks for having me on.
And that brings us to an end of another enlightening episode of the podcast. We've covered a wide range of topics today, all aimed at helping you become the best version of yourself and leading a fulfilling life, as well as pursuing your dreams too. First, we explored the different levels of success. Remember, success is not a one-size-fits-all concept. It's about defining what success means to you and aligning your actions with your values and aspirations. Embrace your unique journey and celebrate the milestones along the way. We also delved into the realm of emotional intelligence, a vital skill for personal and professional growth. Understanding and managing your emotions, empathizing with others, and cultivating meaningful relationships are key ingredients for building a fulfilling and purpose-driven life. Next, we emphasize the importance of self-worth. You are deserving of happiness, love, and success. Never underestimate your abilities or settle for less than you deserve. Recognize your inherent value and let it guide you, your decisions, your relationships, and your pursuits. Maintaining a healthy work-life balance was another crucial aspect we explored. Remember, your well-being is not limited to professional achievements alone. Nurturing your personal life, invest in your relationships, and make time for activities that bring you joy and rejuvenation. Strive for harmony between your work and personal life to lead a more fulfilling existence. We also touched upon the correlation between personal development, well-being, and increased performance. When you invest in your growth, take care of your mental, emotional, and physical well-being, you create a strong foundation for achieving your goals and performing at your best. Prioritize self-care and growth as they are integral to long-term success. Finally, we encourage you to embrace the journey of becoming the best version of yourself. Remember, personal growth is not a destination, but a lifelong pursuit. Embrace challenges, learn from setbacks, and keep pushing yourself to new heights. Your journey towards self-improvement is unique and inspiring. Embrace it wholeheartedly. Thank you for joining us today on today's episode. We hope that Anna has provided you with not just invaluable insights, practical tips, and renewed sense of purpose, but a potential person to reach out to. To do so, you can find Anna's contact details via her website and find out more about her via LinkedIn profile. And you can connect with her directly through her social media channels, all which can be found in the bio to this episode you're listening to now, as well as on our own social media streams. Remember, you have the power to unlock your true potential and create the life you desire. Keep striving, keep growing, keep unlocking your potential. Until next time, when we bring you even more interviews from the locker.